Hello, 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 and welcome to Candrastations. I am your host, Kandra Thomas Bell. Candrastations is a podcast where we dive into authentic and organic conversations with real people about their remarkable life experiences. Our goal is to empower and inspire as we explore the diverse paths of self-discovery, healing, and self-care that leads to overall wellness. So stay tuned for today's episode. Welcome to Candrastations. And today's topic is check on your strong friend. Y'all know Kiara. We ain't gonna do no introduction. You know who she is. Find her, buy some dog treats, get your children together mentally, because she is the GOAT with the children. And adults too, unfortunately, but yes. So this topic was asked for by somebody real close to me, the producer in the chamber, the behind the scenes. So I got this shirt that says, check on your strong friend.
Curious about that, so remind me to ask you.
What about the shirt?
Why was this a topic that you wanted?
Maybe I can find out why this is a topic.
Please.
I will find out why this was a topic just for you. And maybe we'll get some insight on that. I don't you think it's needed though?
I do. You know me. As soon as you said it, like, my mind just started racing. Is she that strong friend? What type of strong friend is she? So, I'm sorry.
So, how do you identify the strong friend?
For me, the strong friend for me is, who's the first person that pops in my head when I need somebody? Let me go back. So, to me, strong friend is more than what society thinks it is, right? So we have that friend that everybody relies on in a nutshell, and that's the strong friend. But when I think about a strong friend is, who in my circle is strong enough for me to dump on and it not impact them?
I can go with that.
Yeah. I mean, because you have to be like mentally strong or in a safe space mentally to be able to be that strong friend.
Okay. I guess I'm thinking about, I'm trying to think, am I the strong friend?
Absolutely.
Huh. I guess for me, like, some people may think the person that show up all the time is the strong friend. I'm not the person that show up all the time.
What you do?
I show up in the time, but I'm not the all the time person.
I'm going to say you are.
Okay.
And here's why. It's like going back to what I said. You know when I'm going through something, even if I have not told you. Right? So it's like you're always connected to me in some type of way, and you reach out and say, hey, I felt this on my spirit about you. So yes, you're always there. Now, like showing up to all your parties and shindigs or whatever, no, that ain't you. But
that is not me. That's why yeah. I was like,
that ain't you.
That ain't me.
But to be there when I need you, to answer the phone, pray for me, send me a text, just tell me you love me. You that. And it literally does not matter what time of day, what day of the week it is, you're there. Even when I don't want you to be there, you're there.
So is that okay? You remember Barbara? Barbara Common Jackson at Cap.
Yes, I do.
So Barbara used to say that you need to know who your
5 closest friends are and their roles. And so she's very much a strong friend. She says she defines herself as, I'm the person that will snatch you out of a burning building, take your arm off, but we'll get you a new prosthetic.
We'll get you a new one.
And I think because she's a northerner like yourself, it comes off like, woof. And very I'm not like that. But I am like that, but it's just the demeanor is different on how I come in.
Yeah.
As a strong friend.
You described yourself before to me when I was going through something. You said, you're the initiator, I'm the cleanup.
Ah.
And you are absolutely the cleanup. Because, yeah. I mean, no matter how broken down or battered somebody is, you know how to come in and get them back to where they need to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it takes a strong person to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had someone to ask me yesterday, as a therapist, how do you do that and you don't take on other people's stuff?
Ooh, Lord, do it take time?
It don't really take time like that for me. Only because for me, I have walked through my own journey.
Okay.
And in walking through my own journey, I'm actually the cleanup person for your stuff. It's not my stuff. So, God's graced me to differentiate between that. Mm-hmm. And so, it's very, 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 very seldom that I carry on anybody's stuff.
I have, and when I say, you know.
And that's why I don't do children.
You said what?
That's why I don't do children.
Yeah.
Because children is something that I've learned that when I was doing children, it carries too much. So it's not in my best scope of practice that I won't get lost in that.
I'm going to tell you, let me say this part from some record down. So when I said it take a while, or I mean, like, it took a while for me to be able to not carry it, because I can remember my first job after I, you know, graduated or whatever, it broke. Like, it literally almost took me out the game, and I literally wanted to give up. Like, I can remember crying when, like, my clients at the time were relapsing, and I internalized that as if what I was doing was not enough. So that was such a learning experience for me, to where now I can deal with anything and go on about my business. And it's not that I don't care or I'm not empathetic to it, but you have to, in order for me to stay strong for myself, I have to learn how to compartmentalize it. For me, finding job or employment or whatever away from my house 30 to 45 minutes is so important to me, because I need that ride to be my decompression, so that when I get home, work not on my mind, unless I'm on call, work not on my mind. So yeah, it definitely took me some time.
I think, and as you were saying, I was thinking about, how did I get to this point? It's not that I'm not sympathetic. I think I have empathy more than sympathy most of the time, because I've had places in my life that I can always connect and find empathy. And because I have made it through some of those things, a lot of those things, I know that with openness, people can if they want to.
If they want, there we go.
And so it's got to be a want to for it. And I'm just kind of I'm the GPS. Like, I could tell you where to go, but if you don't take the directions,
you're going
to
get lost.
That's on you. So I don't carry it, because if you follow the directions, you'll get where you want to go. But because I'm not driving it, it's not my responsibility to carry it. I think that's just it for me. So, how do you identify? I know you are a strong friend for a lot of your people, including me. But how do you know that you?
How do I know?
Yes.
Because it's heavy.
Mm.
That's how I know.
Hmm.
And I, when I say it's heavy, it's like sometimes I have to separate myself and isolate myself to where I just cannot deal with or even listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say that I don't want to be that friend, but the harsh reality of being a strong friend is you don't have anybody to be your equally strong friend. So yeah, it's heavy.
Yeah. If you had a group of five friends,
okay,
how many of them do you think need to be strong to support your sister?
Two.
Two. Okay. Are they strong in the same ways?
No. Okay. Those two people?
Mm-hmm.
No. Because none of us are one. We're none of us are one, right? There's different compartments to everybody. And in those two friends, this friend may hold six of those compartments and this friend may hold the five.
Okay.
So that's all I need. For me, any more than two being my strong friend, I think I would start questioning who mm-hmm. I should call.
Yeah.
Or who I should rely on.
I think I need people to be strong in different areas. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need an all-inclusive strong friend.
I agree.
And so, when you check on them, how do you know they need something?
You gotta be direct.
You are. That's your yeah. go-to.
Like, you have to be direct. My kids always talk about me, and they were like, "Man, Miss Kira, you don't sugarcoat nothing." No, I don't. And I tell them all the time, for me to sugarcoat anything robs you of your healing.
Mm.
So why do I need to sugarcoat it? Because nobody sugarcoated your pain.
Mm. Ooh.
So and we can't.
That's a tweetable moment.
We can't, you know, pour a little peroxide on the beginning of that cut and it never touches the end of that cut. Well, guess what, baby? That's going to heal while that's getting infected. So you have to be direct. You know, if I have a sense of where I can tell when you're lying to me, right? Like you can tell it all the time. So even if I know something is wrong with you, I'm going to keep asking different questions to get it up out of you.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't want to be as direct, because you got to know when to be, you know, very direct and tone it down a little bit. But just like when we go to God, right, we're supposed to be specific in what we pray for.
Correct.
I can't help you if I'm not asking the specific questions, because anybody that is in the midst of going through things, they're sugarcoating it within themselves to make mm-hmm. it not seem as bad.
Hmm.
Whatever you just drank had to be like heaven.
It is non-alcoholic.
That was
Sunday.
Like the biggest gulp ever. That is so funny.
That was it. That was the end of it too. So that's it.
Gotcha. Now I'm curious for you though. Like, what makes you think that you aren't a strong friend or the strong friend?
Because I'm not like you. I'm not as direct as you. Most of my strong friends are very, very direct.
And you know where I'm about to go with that, right?
Why I always feel like I'm being beat up at my whole show.
But you know where I'm going with
that,
right?
It's a strong friend.
Okay. Like, for me, we're definitely the polar opposite. Because you are the most soft, sweet, sensitive person. And I'm not that. So that's why you're my strong friend, because when I know I need to tone it down, you're who I call. So yeah. It only will make sense as to why all of your strong friends are
barkers.
Yeah.
Including my daughter.
Love her.
Mm-hmm.
That's like my twin from another century.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes perfect sense. I have a question for you, though.
Okay.
Is there more than one type of strong friend?
Yes.
Okay. How so?
So I have friends that are strong, in ways of spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends that are strong in objectivity and relational value.
Okay.
I have friends that are strong in financial responsibility.
Okay. Please send them my way.
I have friends that are strong in this space that we're in, this mental health space, right? Mm-hmm. And what that looks like. And everybody serves a different role.
Okay.
And so it's funny we're talking about this again, or well, not again, but I've been finding myself and talking with my clients about their value systems.
Okay.
And really getting solid on what your values are so that your relationships are in line with your values.
Yeah.
So you don't have to keep compromising your value systems to stay in relationships.
Right.
And so I have really been looking at value systems with people and how I show up as well, because I might not be aligned with your values either.
Right.
Because I know I'm just really getting the hang of showing up as a support.
And not like, the fixer. And not the fixer.
Yeah, I mean, the physical show up. Gotcha. You know what I'm saying? Like, going to things and being there for things and being present while I'm there. I have boundaries, yes. But I'm learning what that means. And there's a lot through my marriage. My marriage is teaching me a lot about showing up and being supportive. So in some places it may look like, well, you ain't never did this before, but I'm in a new season and I'm learning. And so sometimes people hold you captive or where you was 2 seasons ago. Mm-hmm. And you just now got to the chapter where these things are starting to move and change.
You did. You're so silly. Do you think that strong friends face more problems than just being a friend? Like, if we took that word strong off, why so?
I think when you are a strong friend, or at least in my own personal experience prior to, I mean, the work I've been doing the last 8 years has changed me in so many ways, right? But being the strong friend, you show up and you listen and you're the vent and you're the all of the things, the fixer, all of those things, but you don't never fix yourself. And so you don't, because you want to work outside of yourself, you don't do the internal work. And so by me doing my internal work now, it looks different in some relationships. Because now I have to prioritize me. And that's a part of me being a friend to myself and being the friend that I need for myself.
That took a lot for me to learn, for sure. It definitely did. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I learned that until last year. When my son died, I can count on one hand, literally one hand, how many friends truly showed up.
Yeah.
And the end of last year, I still have this message on my phone where a friend told me, mind you, she found out she was pregnant in the midst of me grieving. So she texted me and she said, you know, I had a really hard pregnancy postpartum and you weren't there. And I was like, I held my son till he died. So mentally, I'm jacked up.
Absolutely.
From just grieving and then postpartum.
Absolutely.
And that was such a blow to me, like the audacity of you to tell me that I didn't show up for you.
Yeah.
While I was going through what I was going through. And I think friends tend to forget that strong friends are human too. We go through stuff. So no, I didn't show up for you. And I found myself like typing the longest letter, like response. And in the middle of it, I said, girl, you don't want no explanation.
Right.
And I never sent it.
Mm-hmm.
Because why do I need to let you know how what you said made me feel? You know what I mean? Granted, sorry, I wasn't there for you. But I think that's why it's so important to have more than one friend that you can rely on that you need that comfort for. Because people not going to always be available because people got their own lives.
Right.
And I think that is such an added pressure to the strong friend that we never feel like we can just relax and not have to be on standby because somebody going to need me.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, I can't ride in my car home in silence because I need to make sure I'm calling everybody first.
Absolutely. I think that's a part of the, God has a way of showing you.
Yes.
And what he needs you to do. Because if it's not instances like this, that you have this level of confrontation that you have been pouring and doing and all these things for things outside of yourself, you won't never take inventory on what you need. Yourself, because you're not giving the time, you're not pouring into yourself, right? And so when I look at my healing journey, I am so grateful that it has looked a hot mess the whole way. But I have overcome so many challenging things that small things don't shipwreck me like they used to, because the things and the people are not on my sleeves anymore. You know, they're not. And so it's a choice for me to be in a relationship with anybody. And it's a mutual choice. You don't have to keep me just for longevity. You do not have to keep me for that. You do not have to choose me because we got a commonality or we share a bond. I want to be of true value to you.
Right.
And so I want people to look at their own value systems in terms of who I am for them too. And see, if they don't align, don't try to carry it on. Because evaluating that gives people room to get the people that they need.
It's funny that you said values. I've been doing values to rebuild and repair relationships lately. But that's kind of cool that we kind of.
Yeah, because that's what it is. It's like, I don't want people, like, I've been having these conversations a lot about walls and boundaries. When I was unhealed, I put up all these walls. I ain't never doing this. I ain't never talking this, and all these things, right? I put up these walls, but the thing about a wall, once you put up a wall, can't nothing get in, good or bad. Boundaries, I say, are more open. They're here to say, okay, well, wait a minute, before you go in here, can you do this, 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 this? I can communicate this. But the wall don't let nothing go through. The values you can, and you can get through there. And you can, you know, because if you're compromising, right? I had to realize, what am I negotiating to compromise for people? Most of the time, I was compromising the essence of who I was. And so now walking into the essence of who I am, and as I age gracefully.
Yes, gracefully.
I am so open to change and correction and challenge to be better. Before, it would create a wall. But the healing part of it allows people to confront me, challenge me, and help me to change. That wasn't the case before. It was just a wall. And so I'm grateful for the boundaries. I say walls are for pain, trauma, things that are not healed. Boundaries are for healed places that you can negotiate and explain what you need, and they can agree or disagree, and you can see if they align with your values and your values.
And the walls, unfortunately, create so many internal battles.
Yes.
And so many conflicts that don't have to be if you understood the difference between walls and boundaries. Mm-hmm. Because people that put up walls are on defense all the time, and they see everything as being disrespected, you know, mm-hmm. somebody being disrespectful.
Yep.
And it's like, dude, chill. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that's not what I meant. But it's hard for you to see that, because when you put your wall up, that's mm-hmm. a defense. It's just like boxing. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
Your guard is your defense.
Yeah.
For you to not keep getting hit and hurt.
Yeah.
But when you do that, nothing else can come in because you're blocking everything.
Absolutely.
And that's even down to your own understanding of things.
Mm-hmm.
Just because one person did something to you don't mean that, you know, it's going to happen again. So why do you have to prevent yourself from having or experiencing something so amazing? And I think that's one of the things that a lot of strong friends struggle with, is because they don't allow people to, let me say proper strong friends. They don't allow people to be the strong friend for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates, I'm going to say, kind of like you said it, how all your friends are like, bark, they at you, right?
Mm-hmm.
The bark of a healed person and the bark of an unhealed person looks totally different, but nobody would be able to see that that's not healed.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of strong friends that you see are the bitches in the friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost as if they have to be that one that's going to check everybody. If mm-hmm. you coming toward, you know, if you coming at me and my girl,
right?
They have to be the one to check you.
Right.
But is that fair? Ask you. Is that fair?
No. In terms of people who want to, I got barkers. I do. I got friends that, you know, because they know I'm not a barker. And so they read right. And so I'm always looking how to keep them cruising instead of riding. You know? Because I look at our internalized things. I'm looking at it from all these angles. What did I do? How's this fixing? Is this my trauma? Wait a minute. Is that my stuff? Is that their stuff? I'm looking at it now so objectively before I respond. And so having my therapist, my own personal therapist, and not unloading on my friends, there is a time to share. There is a time that I need to process, because I know this friend still got that trauma. And they speak from that trauma anytime mm-hmm. I say something about this topic.
Mm-hmm.
And so being aware of that, that I can get a biased answer based on their trauma, pain, or unhealed thing. Let me take this to the therapist who, let's go do this over here. And then we can have this conversation about it later. Because if I'm high emotion, you're still high emotion in that topic of life.
Right.
Then, although the information may be from the barker that is like, you ain't nobody finna do this to you, or this ain't gonna happen, or you don't need to.
You know what I'm thinking about, right?
It's from good intention, but it's not what I need. I need clarity. And so I use my therapist for a buffer for most things.
You taught me that recently, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. What was that, in the last year? Mm-hmm. You text me something that had happened, and I was like, what? Mm-hmm. Do this. I need this. I need this information, that information. You was like, no, no, no.
Mm-hmm.
Calm down. Let me do this, this, and this. And like, I can remember I was sitting in Rouse's parking lot, like,
mm-hmm. yeah,
not pulling off because I'm texting. Send me this. I need that. Yeah. I was like, no, chill. That was such an eye opener and a lesson. Like, she don't need you to respond. She just needs you to listen.
Mm-hmm. I just need it out. Because if I get it out and I hear it or I read it, it takes me from in these initial feelings to bring it down a second to pull it all together. I work a whole lot better with responding versus reacting. And so where I used to be a reactor, whether it was inflicting in myself through eating food, drinking, whatever to escape, now it's a more of a response and I'm sitting with things. And I'm sitting with the pain of it too. Like, I don't want to erase pain. If I feel sad, I can have my sad.
Have that moment.
And if I'm angry, I can have my anger. If I need to have my disappointment, I can have that too. If I need to have my fear, I can have that too. But none of those emotions have to control every area of my life. I can just experience that as I need to experience it. I'm not throwing my feelings away like I used to. They're valid, they're important, and they're important for my growth and development.
Right.
So being a strong friend for others has taught me how to be a better friend to me.
I absolutely agree with you. Mm-hmm. There you go. And again, that was probably, learned it probably last year with you, when you was like, no. Calm down. You need to listen, not react. Mm-hmm. And I find myself a lot now, which is crazy, because some of my friends that call, or even family members, when they call, they're so used to me being that I'm just sitting there in silent. They're like, listen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, I'm listening.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. I am signing off. This is your host, Kendra Thomas Bell. And I just like to let you know, if you are in need of therapy, I am a licensed therapist in Atlanta, Georgia. You can reach us at dynamicchangecc.com. If you would like to find another therapist, you can try Therapy for Black Girls as a directory. You can also try Clinicians of Color as a directory. And if you are looking for a male therapist in the Metro Atlanta area, please reach out to Counseling Brothers of Atlanta for your therapy needs. We look forward to helping you through your journey. This is not a substitute for therapy. We wish everyone to have an individual and a collective journey for therapy, healing, and self-discovery. So thank you for listening to Candrasations. See you on the next episode.